Rookie drafts are almost ready to get ripping. What's up, IBT family? Tonight, we dive deep into our 2024 NFL draft class and let you know who our favorite dynasty sleepers are. All this and more, it's the IBT podcast coming right at you.
Because I've been in tune, out of touch, coming off the bench, trying to shake the funk, check a stat line, see who's up, that over, under, hit too clutch.
And I'm trying to avoid getting carried away with the Jets, we sleeping on old trick play, predicting all of my moves like they seen every play, so I'm running it back, head down, get out of my way, and it's for the law with only one thing to do, I guess I'll say a prayer and put it all on the line. Just one thing to say, yeah, what they don't know, something they haven't seen, I'm off that mean Joe Green, it got me fading between, yeah, I got, and I got, the In-Between Fantasy Football Podcast.
All right. It is Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. And yes, we have made it to the month of the NFL draft, which is where our focus will be shifting for about the next 30 days as we lock in from a fantasy football and betting perspective. My name is Seth Woolcock, and I am still buzzing from a fun Easter weekend. Hoove, I hopped into the golf sim for the first time this weekend. Somehow worse on a simulator than I am in person. Nonetheless, killed some beers, enjoyed some time with my brothers and my dad. So happy Easter to everyone out there who celebrated. I hope you guys had a great one as well. I'm Seth Woolcock tonight. I'm joined by my QB1, certified internet shit stirrer and heir to the Green Bay Packers ownership circle, Nick Hoover, a.k.a. Hoove. Hoove, how's it hanging tonight, man?
Well, first off, I just wanted to say if you need a little practice with that golf simulator, maybe you and I, Katie, Heidi, we can all head down to the brew kettle, you know, on yes, Friday sir. Night for, before draft night out kicks off. You know, we can hit those simulators a little bit. So, you know, maybe that's an option. I don't know. Maybe get a little more practice for next time. But Easter weekend was good. It was good. Didn't do very much, but that's okay. Yeah. Like, you know, long weekend preparing for the draft, getting everything. I'm excited. So, yeah, we got a good show in store. Let's get to it. Okay.
Yeah. Hell yeah. We're also joined by the glue who sticks us together each and every show. A dude who once lost his vape pen in my couch, like every week, like frequently, way too frequently. He's Kyle Keith Scott. Kyle, what's good after a week off from you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great, Seth. Thanks for reminding me. I just found my vape pen after losing it for like 4 weeks. I not only lost my pen in your couch, but also under your couch frequently. So
yes, absolutely. There was one night who if Kyle is like, we are blacked, like we're blacked, we're smacked. Kyle says the next day, Jim, I think I lost my vape pen. Dude, we're like, we had a party at the house. Like, we can look for it. It was like a week later, Kyle, we found it like under a chair in the basement. I can't believe we found it, but it was still ripping.
And this is a reminder from your friendly role model to drink responsibly, and smoking is dangerous. Don't smoke, kids.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Here we go.
Thank you for that disclosure. Also, thank you to the IBT family for riding with us tonight. Looks like we already have some peeps in the chat. Looks like we got Dame Overboard and Mr. Scampers saying, evening, gents. Well, hello there. Great to see one of my favorite couples out there. We also got Albert front and center tonight. What's up, Albert? Good to see you. Thanks, as always, for joining us on our Tuesday evening episode. Tonight on the show, we're going to dig deep into some rookie sleepers. This is usually one of my favorite episodes annually. We've hit on some really good players in the past. Last year in this episode, I shouted out Tank Dell, Chase Brown. Last year, Scott shouted out Jaden Reed and Elijah Mitchell the year before. This year, we're going even deeper. I set top 40 38 as our boundaries hooves. So we're going to go even more deeper, like outside the top four rounds of consensus rookies. We also have a fun game of Would You Rather to play with everyone tonight. And we'll answer some questions from the forum and from the chat. Looks like we got Didi hanging out with us as well. What's up, Didi? Oh, we got all the OGs in here tonight. I love everyone. I appreciate you guys rocking with us. I know I say it every single month, but March was our biggest month yet. Record highs across the channel. So thank you for everyone who watches these live streams with us, watches our clips, likes these videos, shares, comments, live chats. Thank you guys so much. We really, really do appreciate it. Easiest way to support us, if you are new, subscribe, jump into the chat right now, join the IBT family. We've got a lot of goodness rocking in here, a lot of good human beings as well. And yeah, Didi says Kyle is coming. Yeah, Kyle's going to be here tonight. He's ready to roll here as always. All right, let's go ahead. Let's jump into it then. Let's kick things off with a little bit of Sure Thing Sleepers of the Week.
It's the Sure Thing Sleepers of the Week.
Sure Thing Sleepers of the Week, Rookie Edition. All right, here's the plan, folks. We're looking at Fantasy Pros Dynasty Rookies ADP. We're going to be talking from a Dynasty perspective mainly. A little bit of best ball in there as well. I'm going to go ahead and drop the ADP that we looked at in the chat so you can maybe pick out some of your own sleepers you like or see what range our sleepers were in. Again, we're looking outside the top four rounds of consensus data here and looking for some dart throws. These can often be grabbed if you have a fifth round in your rookie draft. You can maybe even get them after your rookie draft or take your final stab in your fourth round as well. Hoov, I want to start with you, man. Where are we going? Who's your favorite rookie sleeper of 2024?
Let's start from the top. I've talked about this guy before on the show, so I believe that he is currently ranked. These aren't my reading glasses. These are my sunglasses. But I'm wearing sunglasses inside. I don't know, but all right. We'll find him up on here. All right. Dallin Hoker, we'll find the number later, but in the 40s, we got Dallin Hoker, tight end out of Colorado State. Now, I was feeling a little spicy. I wanted to shoot for the stars with this guy, but Seth cooled me down a little bit, and he said, you can't go all that. We don't need that kind of content, all right? But I have my comparison for him is Trey McBride, also coming out of Colorado State. Dallin Hoker only has been at Colorado State for 1 year, transferring from BYU. But this guy, when you just watch his tape, this guy just knows how to get open. He knows how to – he doesn't know how to get open. He knows how to catch in so much
– traffic?
Yes, thank you. That's the correct term. He knows how – like, he could be a better route runner 100%, and that's one thing that I think that, like, when he goes to the NFL, that's his biggest thing because a lot of his traffic catching is because he's just not running the right route. He's running into those guys. So if he can find a good route – this guy just knows how to get the ball in his hands. He knows how to make plays. And like Dallin Hoker, not Travis Kelce, but let's shoot for Trey McBride because Trey McBride is awesome for fantasy. So if you can get Dallin Hoker in a fourth round or even like a waiver wire pickup, oh my goodness, I can't even talk today. If you can pick him up like after all these drafts go by, go ahead and do it because I feel like this guy is going to be fantasy relevant. And I felt like Tucker Kraft was going to be fantasy relevant last year and most people weren't on his radar either. So, Dallin Hoker, remember the name, Colorado State.
Well, he went to BYU, so he probably has a couple kids and a family already. So, we know he's mature for sure, not going to be getting in any trouble in the league. So, you like to see that. Honestly, I was a little disappointed, I think, with Dallin's like combine performance. Hoov, I expected him to like, because he kind of looks like one of those athletic freaks. He's got the long tight end hair. He's kind of a guy who reminds you of like a George Kittle just looking at his physique. But a little disappointing in the combine. Still, though, are you projecting what? Probably a day three pick here for Dallin Hoker?
He has tight end four upside. He's currently ranked like tight end eight. It just kind of depends on what the team's like looking for. Like, if a team like the Chargers, like that's looking for playmakers, could bring him in on day four or in the fourth round, I could totally see that. Dallin Hoker with Justin Herbert, people are going to be eating that up like Gerald Everett. So,
Chargers, favorite fit. Nice.
That's my fit.
Okay, I like that, man. The Chargers, I think they're a lot of people's favorite fit for a lot of skill players because they are lacking them. Looks like we got Tootsie Pop Rachel in the chat. What's up, Rachel? Thanks for hanging out with us yet again on your Tuesday evening. Rachel's got something cool cooking over on the site. I'm excited to release later this week. Mr. Scamper, 70th overall for Dallin. So, Hoove, a little discount there. Even our friends over at Fantasy Pros are sleeping on him in the consensus rankings. We got Angie in the chat hanging out with us. What's up, Angie? Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. All right, Dallin Holker. I like the call there, Hoove. I'm gonna go with for my first rookie sleeper of the year. I'm gonna go with a guy we've also talked about on this program before, a guy who popped off at the combine earlier this offseason, Isaac Guerrero. This is a guy I'm expecting to go either on late day two of the draft, or potentially early day three as well. And if you're unfamiliar with Isaac Guerrero, he's a guy who started his career at Wisconsin, was a fifth-year transfer to Louisville after 4 years up there in Madison, gained over 1,000 combined scrimmage yards this past year, scored 11 touchdowns, really broke onto the scene a little bit. 6 foot guy, 221 pounds, but an elite athlete. 98th percentile burst score, 100 percentile speed score, 9.9 relative athletic score. Hoop, he tested very fast in the combine, and I think it was somewhat surprising to us. We knew this guy was a track athlete in high school, had set a lot of records out of school. I had a little bit of a unit on him, so I was happy when he was the fastest running back to run the 40. But when you watch his tape, he doesn't exactly scream like, oh, this guy is the next Achan, you know, that he has that elite burst. But still, good pace, not a power back. But to me, he kind of reminds me of like just the way he runs legs, Isaiah Pacheco, because he runs angry, keeps the leg turning at all points of the field. And I think he's going to get on to the field early because he's a great kick returner. So we're going to see him there probably, especially with the new roles in the NFL and his receiving ability. So I think it's a nice change of pace back here. Isaac Guerrero, I don't think he'll ever be the main back on a team. I don't think he'll ever be an RB1 or anything like that from a fantasy football perspective. I think his ceiling is a mid to low RB2, but I think he's going to hang around in the league for a while because he can do things like return, because he can do things like be a change of pace guy, a spot starter if he had to. To me, he kind of reminds me of like in a fantasy lens. Like, remember what Duke Johnson was for a couple of years, Hoove? Like he was kind of that running back to PPR fill and flex guy that you could go to. I think he'll be similar to that. Although my main comp for him is Zach Charbonnet / Isaiah Pacheco. It's kind of who he reminds me of here. And also low miles on the tire, Hoove, just 231 career carries. How do you feel about Guerrero being up there, what, 20, 30 minutes away from Madison?
I think one thing about him that his greatest strength is just like the running back class in general, is that like, I don't think that there's nothing that's going to hurt him that's not going to hurt a lot of other people in this class. I know that's kind of a lazy take in a sense, but I think that he could definitely pop out of this draft class just because there's not many like studs.
Yeah.
But he's definitely one of the running backs that if you want to take a stab on, like he's definitely worth like what you're probably paying for, because he's not going anywhere near like even the early second, I would guess.
Right now in Fantasy Pros, he's outside the top 48 for them. Right on that line, player overall 50.
There are some people though that are very big on him. Like they're thinking he's like RB1. So like, even though he's in that tier, I know for a fact that he will be like raising up come you close to draft time. Once we find a fit with him, he's going to be raising up those draft boards 100%. So like, that's why I'm kind of like eerie, because right now, obviously you should be definitely picking him up, especially if in deep leagues like this. Why wouldn't you? But if he starts climbing and climbing and climbing more towards that second round, like where people's picks, you know, like they want to stamp their flag in it, then I'm going to be a little more weary about it. But
yeah,
where he's at, I'm good.
Right now, like he's going undrafted in a lot of rookie drafts or late in that fourth round. So I'm going to take my dart throw on Guerrero and hope for the best landing spot. My favorite landing spot would probably be the Raiders. I think he could play a nice little change of pace back to Zamir White, get in there on third downs as well, or even the Chargers. I think he could be the the 1B to Gus Edwards as well. So I like Isaac Guerrero. Hopefully Jim Harbaugh or Antonio Pierce do as well, and he falls into a good system there. Let's go ahead and move forward, though, Hoove. Who is your next sleeper of the week rookie edition?
All right, we'll move it forward, but we'll keep it on the same college because I'm feeling at 53. We got Jamari Thrash. Now, I believe Derek Brown was just talking about Jamari Thrash today in his article for Fantasy Pros, so I got to give credit where credit's due, too, because he was hyping him up as well, and it's just on my mind. But just, like, watching Jamari Thrash's highlights, I commented on this post, and I'll repeat it here, is, like, when I watch his highlights, I think of the Morgan Wallen song, "I just want to spin you round and round
this dance floor."
Yeah, dude, when he jukes people out, it's like, it's awesome. If you want, just go watch this tape. You're just going to like, if you love football and you love watching people get burnt, Jamari Thrash is a person that you should be watching some tape of, because I definitely think that people are going to, the more people like start seeing his clips on draft day, they're going to be like, how did this guy fall through the ranks? Because Louisville's got some studs, you know, like you were talking about Penn State. Like, you like Penn State. Penn State's got these studs, but they're not like great by any means. Jamari Thrash is good. Like Isaac Guerrero. Guerrero? Is it
Guerrero? Guerrero. You're
I was right. Okay.
Guerrero. You were not
Guerrero.
Right.
Yes. I was not right. Okay. Isaac Guerrero and Jamari Thrash, dogs. So Louisville's got some guys. Keep your eyes on them. If you want to do some research, I highly recommend. So that's another one at 53.
I think what I like about Thrash is the breakout age, 21.7. When you look at what he's done over his college career, he continues to get better and better and better. Not the most athletic guy. Like I thought we were going to see potentially a sub 4.4 at the combine. It was a 4.46. But overall, I think Thrash could be a potential guy as well. So I don't mind Thrash, man. He's someone I don't think people have talked about. He had a little steam earlier going into the Senior Bowl. Didn't really stick out too much. But Thrash, I don't hate it at all. I'll round this out with...
I got a fit for him. Can I throw a fit out before we move on?
Yeah, who you got?
All right. So I feel like he would be... Everyone's been kind of, everyone knows you, everyone hates on him, but I don't want to hope that he gets cut. Maybe he gets traded somewhere, but more than likely Kadarius Toney is not going to be on the Chiefs roster come fall. So I could see Jamari Thrash. He is athletic as hell. I could see him with his spin moves doing exactly what Kadarius Toney does or was supposed to do in that offense. Like if Brown does what Hill was supposed to do and Rice, if that situation unveils, like, whatever, you know, like, he'll be involved. I could definitely see Thrash being, like, that three. And, like, who knows? So
I think he could be a deep threat that takes off the top of the defense. If you look back at what he did at Georgia State in that year he broke out, he had over 1,100 yards. It was the 18.4 yards per reception is kind of really what set him apart. He was that deep threat wide receiver. We saw it a little bit at Louisville as well. So he could be someone, whether it is the Chiefs or another elite quarterback, just as like a deep threat. I don't think he'll ever be a guy that's going to get a ton of targets, but I think he's a guy who could potentially at the end of the year have 500-600 yards and a handful of touchdowns on some deep shots. So I don't mind the call there at all from Hoove. I'll round this out here with our rookie sleeper discussion with my call out of Frank Gore Jr., running back from Southern Miss. You guys obviously know Frank Gore Sr. Frank Gore Sr., man. I mean, I was talking to my brother and we were talking about like potential people are going to come out with Big Ben in his Hall of Fame class. And Frank Gore was on there, man. And this guy, he's a 5'8 runner just like his dad, and doesn't have elite speed. I think that needs to be very clear with Frank Gore Jr. And you're talking about him, who like doesn't have that elite speed that I think he'll ever be a true 1A running back in the league. He's a better inside runner, really shifty at finding that hole. Has nice little lateral speed, can make some people miss, put him on skates a little bit. Doesn't have that long run speed. I think that's why we didn't see him run at the combine. But actually a really good pass catcher, man. Really good pass catcher. And I think that will get him on the field a little bit here. And I think he'll be a good short yardage back because he can find that hole when he's called upon as well. So I like Frank Gore Jr. a little bit here. I think he's a day three guy as well. My comp was Jaquizz Rodgers. Do you remember Jaquizz Rodgers at all? Who, like, not a great running back, but a potential running back three that you could, you know, occasionally throw in your flex back in the day.
Where do you have him going?
My favorite fits would either be obviously the Cowboys. I think he could play a 1B to Rico Dowdle if they didn't go heavy on like a Trey Benson or a Jonathan Brooks. I also think he could go and be a 1B for Jonathan Taylor with the Colts, because not a 1B, it would be a true 2 there. But if you remember the kind of the role Nyheim Hines used to play for Taylor, I think we could see something similar to that. I don't think you'd ever get, you know, like the carry Zach Moss got, but they're still kind of looking for a 1B guy. They were playing that Goodson fella down the stretch, and he ended up costing them a trip to the playoffs. I don't think he'll be back. And they also have who was the other running back they had? They drafted someone out of Northwestern last year. I can't remember his name. He was pretty much hurt all year last year, though. So, yeah, I think Frank Gore could go there. Any thoughts on the GOAT son?
I think that my favorite fit, I'll throw this one out there. What about the Cardinals?
Cardinals. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of guys there. Like, there's Michael Carter, there's DeMercado behind James Conner, but they're all kind of just guys. You know what I mean? There's no one that separated themselves there, so I don't mind it. I don't hate the Cardinals. What leads you there?
I feel like they kind of just want more availability with like James Conner. Like, you just seeing like how the league is going. Like, James Conner's great, and he's like really just kind of built himself a new leaf over there in Arizona. But still, like, you're just seeing it, like Gibbs, Montgomery, that they're splitting backfields now and giving guys opportunities to get some rest. So, like, James Conner has been banged up in the past, and I could definitely see them giving him some breathing room. So, but I do have, so I hate to do this, but Bear is barking, is huffing and puffing over there. I think he needs to go outside. So can you do the first would you rather without me? I'll pop back in here.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I'm gonna go to the chat here as Hoove gets that taken care of there. Mr. Scamper saying Evan Hall. Another vulnerable room is Eric Gray behind Singletary, New York Giants. Yeah, I'm 100% with you there, Mr. Scampers. When I was thinking about some other landing spots, I thought the Giants wouldn't be bad too. Singletary's kind of a one cut slash runner, and I think Gore could maybe compliment him nicely as well. Mr. Scamper saying legacy player. I love legacy players. How do you guys feel about like legacy players? Like, whether it's a brother or whether it's a son, I generally err on the side of like opting for that legacy player. I mean, sometimes you're going to get someone like Jerry Rice's son's coming in the draft. I don't think Brandon Rice is going to be anything that special. But like when TJ Watt was coming in a couple years, you know, 5-6 years ago for the Steelers, I said, why is TJ Watt, you know, not higher up on draft boards, given that his brother is a freak? We've seen it with the Kelce brothers in recent times as well, man. Like, these fucking legacy players really matter, man. Like, you learn how to be a professional from a professional. I'm excited to see, you know, what Marvin Harrison Jr. can do in the league. We got Adam Pac-Man Jones Jr.'s kids coming up, legally his kids, Chris Henry's blood kids, if you remember him, great wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. They're going to be in the league in a couple years as well. So some really cool legacy players. And Tootsie saying, yeah, Frank Gore Sr., yeah. Man, I love Frank Gore Sr. We're going to do a giveaway next month here, or probably the end of this month. And we actually have a Frank Gore Sr. jersey we're going to give away, thanks to our guy Eric on the program. So appreciate him there. All right, I think we got Hoove back around for us. Hoove, what do you say, man? Should we go ahead? We've looked at the rookie sleepers. Let us know in the chat, guys. Whose rookie sleepers did you like better? Did you like my Frank Gore? And do you like my Frank Gore and Isaac Garendo, or did you like Hoove come in here with Jamari Thrash and Dallin Holker? Let us know who you would draft out of those guys, and we'll certainly chat more about that. But Hoove, what do you say, man? Should we jump into a little bit of Would You Rather with Kyle?
Risky business or FSA. Are you that hard on the rise? We're chilling with a cold one, even bold one, or hold back. Would you rather? This ain't no simple matter.
Mm-hmm. Would you rather? It ain't no simple matter. But we got the guy who makes it simple, Kyle Scott, join us. Kyle, how we doing, man? You ready for a little Would You Rather April edition?
I am fantastic, Seth. Thank you for asking. I went to a Chinese supermarket today, and I got apple soda. So I'm on cloud nine, frankly, dude. I think apple is a severely underutilized flavor. I mean, everyone loves that sparkling apple cider at New Year's Eve. I want it year round. Give me apple flavored soda.
Apple? Who, have you ever had apple flavored soda? Because I love apple juice, but I don't know if I would like apple soda.
I go to all kinds of shops, so I would love to try apple soda. I'm gonna keep my eyes out for that. You know, Heidi, like, she likes going, and she used to order her stuff all the way from Japan, but like, she loves like certain types of noodles and whatnot. So like, we just go to all kinds of shops. I'm gonna keep my eye over apple soda because that sounds phenomenal. I love fruit flavored soda. Good.
There we go.
Kyle, like, what the chips have too? Like, have you ever tried the chips from like those?
Yeah. Oh,
there's some weird ass flavors. You get some weird ass flavors over there. I do like some of them, but can be a little much. Mr. Scamper saying Manzanita Soul Manzanita. Is the popular apple soda. Is that what you have, Kyle? Is that what you're drinking?
No, I'm drinking apple cedra.
Okay.
If you know, you know. I know. I got you.
Pineapple soda, also underrated. Okay, never had pineapple soda, but I'll add it to the list. I'm okay. Maybe I could get behind
your soda palette.
There you go. Kyle, what do we have on deck? Would you rather? Any soda related questions?
I wish. We have mostly football related questions. As always. So let's just jump into them, you know. Let's start with a little bit of fantasy football. Would you rather draft Nick Chubb at ADP or Jerome Ford at ADP?
Yeah,
Jeremy.
I would love if Jerome Ford, his name was Jeremy Ford, honestly. I think Jeremy Ford is a great name. However, we are looking at ADP here coming from underdog. And listen, I think Nick Chubb and Jerome Ford are both drafts right now, or both values in drafts right now. I like Jerome Ford personally better at this ADP because right now we don't have a timeline on Nick Chubb's return. They said it's at least going to be a month or two before we hear when Nick Chubb will return. But you're getting Jerome Ford in double-digit rounds. This guy was a running back two for the majority of the season last year in PPR formats. I don't mind stacking both of these guys, Hoove, because then you know you're controlling the Browns backfield for like an eighth and a ninth round pick, and then maybe like a 12th and a 13th or a 13th round pick. So for two later picks, I think these are both great players to get and stack. However, at ADP, I'd probably have to go with Jerome Ford just because we don't know the Nick Chubb timeline. If I'm drafting right now, I'm going to take the healthy player who performed last year despite not being as talented.
I'm gonna stand by you with that pick because one, these two are gonna be my Scott Fishbowl picks 100%. I might have to reach a little bit on Jerome Ford. I'm not gonna lie, if I'm gonna get both of them, but yeah. I think that they're both worth it because you know that Cleveland likes to pound the rock and like, oh yeah, if you want to root, if you think Jerry Jeudy's just gonna pop off this year, like, go for it. But it's kind of like what do you think about the Browns receiving core? Like, I'm not a fan. I think they're going to pound the rock. I still think they're going to be good. I think that their best receiver is going to be David Njoku, like, once again, because he's a dog, a Cleveland Brown dog, you know? So I think that you know that you're going to get value out of both guys eventually. Nick Chubb, like, if Nick Chubb comes in at, like, week eight and starts producing, like, you've seen guys like Cam Akers win leagues for people because of the way that they finish the season. You know, so I could see Nick Chubb being a league winner at ADP, and like, you just like keep him on your bench for a while, keep Jerome Ford at a cheaper rate, and like, you could be winning some leagues. This could be the backfield that wins leagues.
Yeah, it's honestly a good looking backfield for the price. And I would say, like, why I like Jerome Ford even more is like, if Chubb does come back, like you alluded to, maybe week eight, halfway through the season, he's not going to be 100%, you know, until really like at any point in that season. We've seen these ACLs take like at least like a couple games to get back right. Saquon was not back healthy really from his ACL that whole first season. He was back. It took Brees a little bit of time. He popped some big runs early, but had a couple down games before they really gave him the rock. So something to keep in mind there. I think Jerome Ford, Nick Chubb are both great values here.
What's Amari Cooper's ADP? That's what I want to know. Honestly, I don't want to sleep on Amari Cooper. That's one I shouldn't have said that about the receiving core in general. More like I don't believe in Elijah Moore and I don't believe in Jerry Judy. But Amari Cooper, you know, same old. Shout out, man. So David Njoku, Amari Cooper, I'm in.
I like all the Backfield, Browns right now. I'm in. Yeah. The Browns are huge values right now, all the way around. I'm definitely with you there. I got a lot of Njoku on some best ball teams right now. A little impromptu, would you rather question here, Kyle from Mr. Scampers. Would you rather sleep on a bed of whole unpeeled apples or a bed of cut wet pineapple slices? Ooh, what do you think here, Jim?
All right, so I do have a little bit of a fun fact for you. Pineapple has like an enzyme in it that breaks down your skin.
So am I naked?
So, well, I don't know. Do you sleep naked, Hoove? That's not for me to decide.
Yeah.
What? Ayo? What?
So wet pineapple here, like, I couldn't sleep. I don't think I could sleep on wet pineapple, but apples are hard as fuck. That's the catch 22 we're dealt with here in this question, Kyle.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to choose apples just cause can roll over, eat an apple.
Yeah, you're going to feel like shit either way. I feel like you're not going to like it. I'll go apples as well. Just cause like, I do not want to be, I don't want to be wet while I'm sleeping. Who round us out here? You're answering Mr. Scamper's questions.
I don't want to slide off the bed, you know? Like, I'm a turner, you know? So I'll be rotating, you know? And I'll just be gliding. And imagine how dangerous a pineapple bunk bed would be. That'd be fucking terrifying. Just, especially if it's at an angle. Like, the house isn't even. So it's like just sitting the wrong way. Just.
Mr. Scampers, we love you. We appreciate the question, brother. Thanks for the little bit of a tangent there. Didi saying pineapple for sure. Naked. There we go. She's taking the dive. Didi's taking the dive. I wouldn't expect anything less. Kyle, what do we have else for Would You Rather tonight?
All right. So we have if you could play in a fantasy football league with anyone, would you rather do it with someone dead or alive?
Oh, okay. And if so, who, I guess, would be the answer. Who would you pick, someone dead or alive? And if so, who, like who's the dead person or who's the alive person you want to play with?
I got to process this question for like a minute. Just like,
okay. I'll answer this because I did write this question as usual. I'll take the shot. I'm going alive. I'm going with someone alive.
I got to process this.
And so what this stems from, just so y'all know, a couple of years ago, I was taking a screenwriting class. Who was a screenwriting professor at IUP?
Jeremy Waltman.
Shout out Jeremy Waltman.
Last name, baby.
Yeah. So I was taking a screenwriting class with him, and we had to just like write a screenplay. My screenplay was, it was a fantasy football related one, no doubt about it. And a kid basically won a contest to join a celebrity league. A bunch of shit happened, and the person also starring in the movie with the kid was Seth Rogen. That was like the main celebrity in the league. So I always thought Seth Rogen would be a great person to be in a league with. He'd be fun at a lot of crap. He'd be chiefing. He'd be hanging out. So Seth Rogen, if you ever want to do a fantasy football league with the IBT boys, offer on the table, live draft, weed will be provided. Please come on down. I'm going to go with Seth Rogen. Mr. Scamper is going with Brad Pitt as Achilles from Troy. Dead.
I got one. I got someone that I think would be a good fantasy football league mate, or honestly, not a good one, but like someone that you know would come back every year and it would be a great time. I'm gonna go with Chris Farley, RIP. I'll go dead.
Oh,
I feel like if you had Chris Farley in your league. Like, imagine like 90s SNL, that league of like David Spade, Adam Sandler. Imagine the shit talk that would go on in that league, that and how much they would roast each other. I bet Chris would be that guy that would just like send the, let me get Patrick Mahomes for only a third round pick. You know, that would be fucking Chris Farley, man. 100%. So that's my answer.
Okay. Okay. Kyle, do you have anyone on the top of your mind here?
Yes, I have someone a little bit out of left field, dead. He is dead. I'm going to go with Dr. Seuss, because I think he would have the best team names, and his trade proposals would be fun.
Yeah, you might get some shit offers from Dr. Seuss. You're going to get a green eggs and ham or some bullshit from Dr. Seuss. But yeah, team names would be lit. You can't deny that. Didi saying dead for sure. Robin Williams, my man. Yeah, Robin Williams would be a great league mate. That's a great answer to the prompt, Didi. I'll also shout out our guy. I don't know what level celebrity you want to call him, but he's a fucking celebrity. Mike Stoyanov. I haven't been in a league with Mike Stoyanov yet. I think we definitely need to change that in the future. I think Mike, very sharp fantasy player. So I'd like the chance to take down Mike. Mike is formerly was in Blossoms. He's been in Billions.
The
Dark Knight. Yeah, man. Mike's a killer. So Didi staying alive would be Jim Carrey. Jim's a little too animated for me. I think he'd throw me off my game at the draft. I need a little chiller than Jim.
Oh, my God. I would laugh so hard if Jim was there. It depended on, like, Jim's so different now. Jim is like, you can call me Jim Carrey. I'm just an entity inside this body. Like, Jim Carrey is the realest person in the world, man.
Cool, okay. Dude.
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding. I'm not even kidding. Like he's so zen now. Like, that's why, like, you don't just hear about him. Like, he's.
Yeah, I haven't heard. Like, I haven't heard the name Jim Carrey, honestly, in a while. Kyle, what other questions here we have for Would You Rather?
All right. So, for fantasy / betting purposes, would you rather have the Patriots pick at number 3 or trade out of the first round?
This is a no-brainer, right, Hoove? I think we want the Patriots to trade out, because then whether it's J.J. McCarthy, whether it's Jaden Daniels, whether it's Drake May, whoever ends up being this third pick, I would assume if the Patriots trade out, it would be Drake May. They have a better shot succeeding with a team like the Vikings or even the Broncos than I think they do the Patriots right now. This receiving core is trash. They got DeMario Douglas on it. What else? Kendrick Bourne coming back. They got KJ Osborne, Hunter Henry. Like, it's kind of a mess right now. The offensive line needs retooled as well. I think if a rookie quarterback goes to New England, they struggle. From a fantasy perspective, that's not good. From a betting perspective, that's not good. The Patriots would kind of be stay away in all markets for me if that's the case, Hoove.
I think that I would go with trade out, but that's only because, like, what we saw with Michael Penix, and I'm kind of glad I got the platform now because I kind of can go in on it, because I kind of want to, like, fall back on a narrative that I was putting down. I always thought that, like, a pro day, like, you're not going to get anything out of a pro day from an athlete that you haven't already seen on tape. And Michael Penix showed that he can run. Like, and that's nothing that we've ever seen out of Michael Penix, like, that athleticism. We knew he had arm talent, and I thought he was going to really depend on that, and he would be like a Jameis Winston. But he showed that, like, he hasn't been injured. You know, he's been healthy. Like, get that narrative out of your head. He's been healthy. And, like, he's showing that he can still run this after all these injuries. So he's got it. He's good. And, like, I think that now that we saw that out of Michael Penix, it's more likely they would trade out. I think that could have been a huge smokescreen that the Patriots were. Because, like, how are you going to pass up on one of these guys? The 2025 draft is nothing like this class. Like, you can grab your guy if you want to. I don't know if this would necessarily happen until after the second pick gets announced.
So your thought process here is maybe they trade back, they get someone like Michael Penix Jr., they restock, retool the kit, still bring in a rookie quarterback, but then it potentially leads Drake May to a path or J.J. McCarthy to the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll go on record and say this here on the podcast. I said it on X over the weekend. I think the rookie quarterback two in this class is whichever one gets to the Vikings, because they're going to have Justin Jefferson and KOC at their disposal. So
100%.
So yeah, I think we're all on board there with that. Kyle, what else? I think we have two more questions here for the night.
Yeah, we have two more questions for you. Would you rather see Michigan Panthers kicker Jake Bates make it to the NFL or NC State's DJ Burns Jr. make it to the NBA?
Okay. All right. So first of all, we got to pull this up. Jake Bates is a fucking clinic. This guy is a UFL kicker for the Michigan Panthers. Formerly played college football, but was only a kickoff specialist. Was behind some of the best kickers in the college football scene, so never got a chance to kick field goals. Not only did he make one 64-yard kick in an XFL game, he was iced and had to make a second one. Here it is from 64. Let's check it out here over on X and see what we're missing.
Good snap. Good hold. Line drive kick, and it is good!
He fucking murdered that.
That's crazy. 64. That's nuts.
Shout out Jake Bates. That was awesome, man. That I think he'll definitely be getting NFL looks. And also shout out the guy who is taking over the college football scene or college basketball scene right now. None other than DJ Burns, NC State's big man.
That's a guard. That's a guard right there. Put that man in the NFL, man.
So not only is he now potentially drawing some NBA interest after NC State makes a run to the Final Four, improbable run to the Final Four. They just did not stop winning after winning the ACC tournament. Also getting some NFL looks now. DJ Burns here, Kyle. Can you believe it, man? DJ Burns, absolute monster right now, taking the world by storm.
I mean, shit, man. Dude's a tank. Look at him. That's a hoss. He can play any sport he wants. You're not going to tell him no. I sure shit am not telling him anything. He can do whatever he wants. He can play football. He can play hockey if he wants. I don't care. Let him.
If Tim Tebow can switch sports, DJ Burns can switch sports. Put that man in the NFL. Pay him. Give this man a huge contract. That'd be so cool. Like, when was the last person that we've actually seen do two sports? Was it Bo Jackson?
Like Dion, right?
Yeah, we've seen some of these. You know, we've seen Russell Wilson, do some spring training. Kyler Murray was drafted, but truly, yes, it's been a very long time since we've seen a dual sport athlete. And
that'd be
even if he makes it to the NBA, man, like, there's a place in the NBA for guys like this who aren't afraid to, you know, slap the floor and get after it on the defensive end. That's DJ Burns. We've seen it with Draymond Green, bro. Sometimes you just need someone down below ain't afraid to throw a fucking couple elbows. So I love DJ Burns. I love Jake Bates as well. Give me Jake Bates. Jake Bates to the NFL, man. 2024, make it happen. Hoov, your thoughts, where are you going, DJ or Jake?
I'll throw another one. I'll do Jake, because how about instead of DJ Burns going to the NFL, he follows Trick Williams, because Trick Williams was in the NFL with the Eagles. Now he's going to be performing at Stand and Deliver against Carmelo Hayes in WWE. So maybe DJ Burns uses this momentum and he ends up in the WWE. You know, if he ends up, doesn't go to the NBA, but we're rooting for him. This guy's he's good. He's good, man.
He's a great story for sure. We got Didi saying Panthers for the NFL for sure. She likes our guy Jake Bates here. Mr. Scamper saying, unfortunately, DJ Burns might not be the best horse jumper. Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough one, Kyle. It's a tough one. Your thoughts on Mr. Burns' jumping career, and also who would you like to see more in professional sports? I guess Jake Bates is already in professional sports, but, you know, like professional sport. Yeah.
I mean, hey, if you find a horse big enough, anything is possible. I'll just put it that way. And I mean, I want to see DJ Burns in the NBA. I want to see him be like an enforcer. I want to see him 10 points, 37 rebounds a game. I just wanted to be at the basket.
Could you imagine you go up for a rebound and you just got this fucking guy staring you in the foot? No, you don't fucking don't. No, I don't think so. No, DJ Burns, baby. I like it. Maybe you're converting me. I like DJ Burns.
Mr. Scampers is in a synchronized swimming class.
What? Bottom line, we need DJ Burns in our lives more. If he wants to come on the podcast, if he wants to take Hoove's place as our co-host after that left field comment, you can come on, DJ. We got a place for you, my dude. Kyle, round us out here, man. We got one more would you rather question. What is it?
All right. Would you rather see the end to high speed or gambling allegations for professional athletes? Seth?
Yeah, it's been a couple tough weeks, man. Like, professional athletes getting involved with more and more gambling things. We saw the thing happening in the NBA with the player props for the guy who was kind of a nobody. So much now that the NCAA is actually going to be banning or trying to ban some college player props, whether that's in basketball or football. I never really got too much into the college prop betting scene. But still, I know there's some people who like it a lot. So that's a real bummer, but you know, maybe a change that needs to be made. So sucks to see players getting involved in gambling. The temptations are there at the pro and the collegiate level. We need to always, always uphold the integrity of the game, no matter what, not only because we, the betting public, the fantasy football public, have money riding on this, but also just for the good of the game, for the fans and for the organizations, that there's so much on the line. We need to see the end of the gambling allegations for the athletes. But also, man, like, I really thought when Henry Ruggs, you know, got caught doing what, I don't know, 140 allegedly ripped down, ends up killing a couple of people, his career's over. Terrible, terrible scene for Henry Ruggs. I thought people would learn. Then we saw Jordan Addison do it this fall. Apparently, he was just trying to get his pet to the vet. So, like, guy can kind of be excused. And now coming out over the weekend, Rashee Rice, somehow involved, his car was allegedly involved with a speeding accident that led to a 6-car accident, and then a potential walking away from the scene as well. So these both fucking suck. Like, there's no need to be going that. Like, I'll say this: the gambling shit sucks, integrity of the game sucks, but the high speed chasing, the driving like a fucking idiot, that can kill people. So let's knock that shit off. I want to see the end of that.
That was literally I was gonna say it. I'm like, you know, gambling, I'm cool with people gambling as long as it's not like I'm the lower. You know, like, I'd even be cool with people betting on their overs. You know, like, if you want to go bankrupt betting on your overs and like betting on yourself and like trying to profit on yourself, I'm cool. Like, I know that might be outdated, whatever, like outsider opinion, but like, I don't know. Like, if you want to bet on yourself and like that's your money, go for it. As long as you're not betting on the under and like possibly corrupting like your team's success, like, I'm cool with it. Or betting in other sports, I'm cool with it. But like, high speed chases, who are you trying to impress? Honest to God, no one cares. Like, I work outside. I'll tell you this right now. Anyone that tries to go vroom vroom, I go, I'm like, who are you trying to impress, bro?
Yeah.
So high speed chases can kill people. You know, if you want to endanger, if you want to go bankrupt, go for it. But stop vroom vroom. Stop going super fast. You know, if you were like, and you got the money, like, okay, here's my thing. You know,
go to a track.
You know, like, you got money, you got Corvette, you got like these nice expensive cars. You got money to rent out a track, like, easily, easily. And you guys are trained like to the extent that these drivers are. So you could be in a, you could go to those speeds on a track and still like sustain, still be able to breathe like these NASCAR drivers can. So just stop, you know, cut the shit.
Yep. We got DD agreeing with you in the chat. Mr. Scamper saying high speed is gambling. Don't do it, gummies, dummies. And I'll admit, man, when I was young, like I would get my car going way too fucking fast. Like I had a fucking Ford Escape, bro. And I was like plus 100, should not have been like on, not even on highways. Like, you know what I mean? On some like two lane fucking shit. Like, that was dumb. That was really dumb looking back at it. And I'm really thankful that I didn't hurt myself or people I was with or other drivers on the road. Kyle, we got to be fucking careful out there, man, because the road's a dangerous ass place and we can't afford to be fucking idiots.
No, no one can. And, you know, living in Pittsburgh, I'm always reminded of one Big Ben paid to wear a helmet and then goes out on his motorcycle not wearing one. You know, don't be stupid. I mean, it literally just really comes down to that. Just don't be stupid. Gambling, if you want to gamble, go to a casino.
We're all from cold weather states too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're all from cold weather states too. So we know about the snow. Like we know how dangerous like the roads can be, you know? So like they're in Dallas. They don't even realize like your life could be over in a second. You know, and you also have to realize like it's, you're not also thinking about yourself when you're driving. You're like, you are thinking about what are other people doing that can like endanger you, you know? So it's just better to be a defensive driver, you know, and just play it safe.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Kyle, I appreciate your time here on Would You Rather, man. We're going to go ahead and round the show out here in From the Forum. Let's do it.
If you're up, stuck, thinking about what to do, here at In Between, we got advice for you. Back and forth all day, trying to pick the play. Let's hear what them boys here had to say.
Presented by the Fantasy Football Advice Network.
The Fantasy Football Advice Network is the platform that brings fantasy football enthusiasts, analysts all together with the cutting edge, and also their website that offers a forum, group pages, content creation, and monetization capabilities. If you guys are ready to ditch Facebook, ready to ditch Instagram, Twitter, listen, my phone, I got a million photos, got a million videos, I create content, so I don't really have a shit ton of storage in my phone for all these other apps. I don't have the time for all the other apps. I need to get to my community. I need to get to people who can give me advice. I can also give advice to. I go over to the Fantasy Football Advice Network. Make sure you're checking it out. It is free to join right now. I highly, highly recommend you download the app, available on both Android and Apple platforms, and check out the website, fantasyfootballadvice.com. Well, let's get to some questions here from the forum chat, or from the forum hoof. First one. Dynasty trade question from our guy CKBFF 12 team, one QB PPR league, Jamar Chase or the 101, 203, and a 25 second. Hoove, where are you going here?
I'm in because 101, I really like Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that at some point, you know, he's going to be a top 10 receiver at least. You'd want to believe just based off the talent that you've seen in college. So, Jamar Chase, like, he's always going to be there. He's got that quarterback. If Marvin Harrison Jr. can land with a quarterback that you know is going to be productive in Dynasty or Fantasy, that's very key. I think that you should very focus on that. Like, if he lands somewhere, like, that, like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of what's a spot. Like, there's really no bad spot for him, I think, like, where he could land.
Not the top of the draft, there isn't. No. Like you pretty much think it'd be the Cardinals or it'd be the Chargers. You know, those are probably the two most likely destinations, I think. Those are the betting favorites at this point. And either one of those, the Chargers, I think, would obviously be the best. Greg Roman's offense still a little sketchy. But Justin Herbert or Kyler Murray, either one of those can support a wide receiver one.
So you got, and it's a one quarterback too. That's what really sold me on this, because the 101 and a non quarterback is probably going to be Marv anyways. So Marv 203, like, I could probably see like you at 12 team. Oh, that's tough. You could probably grab like a maybe a Ladd McConkey.
Yeah. I think maybe. I think a Ladd McConkey could get there. I also
maybe a Troy Franklin could slide. Yeah, I don't know.
Mitchell, you could get a Mitchell there. You could also potentially grab the first running back if you want to go for a Jonathan Brooks or a Trey Benson. I think they potentially could be there in a one quarterback league as well. So I'm with you, Hoove, though. Like in Dynasty, I'm about resetting the clock, and you're resetting the clock with a younger wide receiver who I think we know. Will he ever be as good as Ja'Marr Chase? Will he ever have that wide receiver one overall upside? We're not sure, but we think so. And bottom line, we think he has, you know, wide receiver one, you know, wide receiver 12 or better in PPR formats upside potentially. So I like Marvin Harrison Jr. and give me the picks. And then you get that second for next year too, which you never know what that could turn into too. So give me that.
For sure.
Mr. Scamper saying New England would be, yeah, New England would be yucky. I think they either trade that pick, those Scampers, or take a quarterback. I'd be really surprised. If it is New England, I would rather have Chase, 100%. That's
New England might not look as bad after the draft than you think. Like in my recent mock drafts, we'll talk about it. If they have them trading down and then trading back up for Rome Odunze, and then they also trade back up with their second pick to grab Michael Penix. So then you have both of them, and you know, like, same thing. If that happens, I would definitely be grabbing both Rome Odunze and Michael Penix, because then I know they have that relationship, much like Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow. So, yeah, I'd be in.
All right, we got another question here to round us out. If you guys have any in the chat, let us know. What 2024 Dynasty rookie draft pick would you take for Tony Pollard? Right now, our guy Fat Squirtle over on the Fantasy Football Advice Network, he has been offered the 308, Devin Singletary, and Darnell Mooney here for Tony Pollard. Is that enough for you to part ways with Pollard? Because I'd say naturally, if it was just one pick straight up, Hoove, I'd probably want, I'd say like a 203, a 204, like an early second rounder.
I said 202. I was thinking 202.
Okay. Yeah. I think 202 is like 202 to 204 somewhere in that. I think it's a great spot for him. If you don't get like, do you like Devin Singletary in this package here, or would you rather just the higher pick?
It's trying to put things together to make it sound enticing, like split the value. You know, if your team can afford it, you really like Darnell Mooney with Kirk Cousins. Sure. I like Darnell Mooney. I picked him up, but I picked him up off of waivers, you know, or I traded a fourth round pick for him. So this isn't going to sell me enough to sell Pollard, even though he wasn't that great last year. So Tyjae Spears is there, and we're all going to root for Tyjae Spears' success. But
yeah,
Tony Pollard definitely could eat, you know, and I think I just kind of want to stick right with my guy there.
I'm close on it. I'm close on this one. I think if push comes to shove, if I have the running back depth and I need some picks, I would be okay with the 308 Singletary and Mooney. However, really? I would rather that be the 208 and Singletary. I would do the 208 and Singletary, like, no doubt. That. You know what I mean? I would no doubt about keep your Mooney. Give me, because I think Singletary could be just as good as Pollard this year, realistically. But the 208, you move yourself back into the conversation to potentially still get a really good wide receiver or a no brainer running back, a Blake Corum, you know, someone kind of in that range. So yeah. I like the question either way. And yeah, I don't know. I'm a little sour on Tony Pollard right now. I think you might be a little higher than me, Hoove. Like, I don't think I'll have any Tony Pollard this year. Do you think you'll have any?
I know that I'm going to probably go wide receiver heavy, so there's a chance I have a few shares of Tony Pollard.
Yeah, that's a good point. You might have to.
But I don't know. Like, you know, the offense is going to be very pass heavy. They're going to be trying to develop Will Levis, like, and just like using his arm and having like Calvin Ridley and everyone. Well, there,
and, dude, and I don't know if it was you, if it was Scott, someone on the program earlier this month said that they think Tony Pollard could be like this year's Miles Sanders signing, you know, that it just doesn't work out. And, the incumbent actually is the guy who ends up being the better value, with Tyjae Spears kind of being that guy who's been there and done that. So yeah,
that's a good call.
Yeah. So I'm a little sour. Like, I would be trying to get Tony Pollard off my roster. I'm trying to do it right now in a league myself. So would I take this? maybe, but I would try to do a little bit better. Either way, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us here tonight on the In Between Media Fantasy Football Podcast. We greatly, greatly appreciate all the support. Thanks for all the great interaction in the chat. It was so fun to see everyone. And, man, a lot of fun overall, man. We appreciate Kyle hanging out in the back end. Hoob, I appreciate you, as always, bringing your sense of flair and freedom to this podcast, man. Guys, we'll be back next week. We got a loaded couple of weeks coming up. We're going to do a Dynasty rookie mock draft. We're going to do an NFL mock draft. We're going to do our NFL prop bets as well. So we're fucking loaded, Hoove. It's draft season, baby.
Yes, sir. And if you haven't already, make sure you guys go ahead and go to the IBT website and check out the recent WrestleMania this weekend. And yeah, a few of us, we got together and we put on an article for you all with our WrestleMania predictions. So make sure you guys go to the website to do that. And while you're on the website, you know, make sure you guys go buy your Draft Night Out tickets. You know, like, we got divisions filling up. So go buy those Draft Night Out tickets.
Yes.
Go check out the WrestleMania article. And like this video, because it's your boy Hoove.
It's your boy Hoove. If you want to see Hoove, myself, the entire IBT media family in person drafting in Canton, Ohio this summer, as Hoove said, go to inbetweenmedia.com, get your Draft Night Out tickets. We got live drafts happening. We're going to be hanging out. We're going to be enjoying some liquid libations and some live drafting. It's going to be a great Saturday in August. I can't wait for it. Do that. If you guys are so kind, we'd greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thanks for all the support. We'll catch you next week. Until then, y'all know what to do. Keep it in between. Thanks so much.